probably those of you who have experienced this will agree with this statement. Sleepwalking is a strange behavior. I suspect in a gathering of this size, we have several among us this morning who have either at various times in your past or perhaps even still presently suffered from the disorder of sleepwalking. I would ask for a show of hands this morning, but you might prefer to keep that to yourself and not let everyone know that you are a sleepwalker. But I suspect we have some who have either experienced that themselves or who have witnessed others, perhaps your dad or even your mom or maybe a child, go through that on different occasions. I hope if you do suffer from sleepwalk as a disorder, that your experiences are not as dramatic as some of the individuals I've recently read about. There is a man who is a nurse by profession by day who at night is a sleepwalking artist. Lee Hadwin, a.k.a. Capasso, I don't know who gave him that name, produces strange artwork during his sleep, which he has no recollection of drawing when he wakes up the next morning. Major art galleries have asked for copies of his work, both for their artistic merit and for their novelty value as well. Hadwin began drawing in his sleep while in his teens. Once, while spending the night with a friend, he covered the kitchen with doodles on the wall and the refrigerator, which led to a very awkward breakfast the next morning. In his late teens and early 20s, the intensity of his sleepwalking increased, and Hadwin would wake to find various items in the house, tablecloths, newspapers, clothes, and hallways covered in artwork. Hoping to harness and perhaps cash in on his strange ability, Hadwin now leaves sketchbooks and charcoal pencils along with other drawing tools scattered around the house each night before he goes to bed. As a result, he often wakes up in the morning to find full-blown pictures that were drawn during his sleep. Or there is the man who cooks while sleeping. Robert Wood, a chef by day, also cooks at night in his sleep. On average, Robert gets up 4 or 5 times a week while asleep and heads to the kitchen where he has prepared fish and chips, omelets, and other dishes. His meals don't always turn out right, though. Once he filled a small bowl with a whole box of cereal and a full carton of milk, which made for quite a mess, according to his wife. Then there's this guy. His wife is named Rebecca Armstrong. She was awakened one morning at 2 a.m. in the morning by a strange noise coming from outside her bedroom window. When she realized her husband, Ian, was not in bed with her, she went downstairs to find him and to find out what was making the noise outside her bedroom window. Opening the front door, she found her husband, Ian, was mowing the yard in his sleep. Even more surprised, he was mowing the yard naked. Afraid to wake him up, having been told it can be dangerous to disturb someone who is sleepwalking, she let him finish mowing the yard, at which time he put the lawnmower back in the garage and came back upstairs and got in bed the next morning, had absolutely no memory of what he had done the night before. I don't know if we could top any of those stories in here, but I bet some of you have probably either done something yourself or know someone who did something incredibly strange in the middle of the night when they were asleep. Sleepwalking is a strange behavior. And come to find out, it's not just limited to human beings. Apparently, animals can sleepwalk too, as evidenced by this clip that we're about to show you of Biscuit, the sleepwalking dog. Now, to those of you who are animal lovers and don't find it humorous that a dog would run into the wall like that, let me assure you that Biscuit's parents have taken steps to protect their dog. Here is Biscuit now with a helmet on his head so that should he fall asleep and get up and run into the wall again, he now has his head protected by a helmet. I know my daughter will appreciate the fact that Biscuit's head is now protected with his helmet. If you want to go to YouTube, there's a whole series of videos about Biscuit, the sleepwalking dog. Some of them are quite humorous. Now, while these stories are funny, sleepwalking, at least in the case of humans, is really a serious disorder, and I don't want to make light of anyone who suffers from the disorder of sleepwalking. So if you suffer from sleepwalking, you truly have my sympathy, and I hope you never hurt yourself or anyone else while you are walking in your sleep. Now, by now you may be wondering, okay, well, what on earth are you doing with this morning? Why are we talking about people and dogs who are sleepwalking? Well, that's a fair question. So let me make a bit of a transition here and try to get more to the spiritual point and application that I'd like to make this morning. It occurs to me that while only a small percentage of people suffer physically from what could be called the disorder of sleepwalking, a much higher percentage of people are, spiritually speaking, going through life in what could be called, for lack of a better term, a sleepwalking state or type of existence. They're going through life physically engaged and involved in many things, but at the same time, they are very much spiritually asleep, unaware of the spiritual realm that surrounds them. The Apostle Paul, I believe, recognized this state of affairs. So in his letter to the church at Ephesus in chapter 5 and verse 14, some of you may have already turned to this verse and may have already read it. It's also on the front of the announcement bulletin you were given as you entered our facility today. Paul there, quoting the prophet Isaiah, writes, "Wake up, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Really, the only verse that I want to toss out this morning and put into your mind. We'll look at a couple of more, but this is the one that I really want to plant in your spirit this morning. Wake up, sleeper. Arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now, the question I want to ask as a follow-up to this verse is this. Who does Paul have in mind when he says, wake up? Who's he talking about? Who is he thinking about? Who in his mind needs to wake up and arise so that the light of Christ may shine on them? Who is Paul admonishing with these words and encouraging to wake up? That's what I want us to think about for the next couple of moments. It occurs to me that when we think of people who are spiritually sleepwalking through life, and by we, I mean those of us gathered in a Christian assembly like this, when many of us think of who needs to wake up spiritually, many of us think about people who don't know the Lord. Many of us, our minds automatically go to people out there who are not in a relationship with Jesus. Those people out there who don't know Jesus, who've not tasted the goodness of God, who've not put their faith in Christ and have come into a relationship with Jesus, we often think to ourselves, when we think of someone who needs to wake up, we think of people out there who aren't like us, people who aren't yet Christians. Now, to be sure, I think Paul and other New Testament writers would agree with us in that people who don't know the Lord need the Lord, and people who don't have a relationship with God through faith in Christ need to have a relationship with Him. And so, yes, Paul, I think, would say those who are sleepwalking through life, who aren't aware of the spiritual realities that surround them, who need to come to a knowledge of God and begin to follow Jesus Christ, I think Paul would say, yes, those people are sleepwalking, and yes, they do need to wake up. It is the testimony of Scripture that those who are not walking with Jesus are, in fact, sleepwalking through life in a state of spiritual darkness and ignorance. Now, I know, I understand that some, and perhaps even some of you who may be in that state, may be offended at the suggestion on my part that if you're not walking with Jesus, then you're walking in spiritual darkness and ignorance, and in effect are sleepwalking through life. I get that. None of us likes to be called ignorant or darkened in our understanding. But the teaching of Scripture is that those who are not in a relationship with God through faith in Christ are living in spiritual darkness. I don't say that to offend anyone. I don't say that to make anyone mad. But as a preacher of the gospel, I have to preach what the gospel is. And part of the good news is the bad news. And the bad news is that those who don't know Jesus are outside of a relationship with God. That's part of the good news, in the sense that the good news is by coming into a relationship with Jesus, our eyes can be opened, and we can begin to see the spiritual realities that are around us. But until that happens, Scripture says we are walking in a state of darkness and ignorance. Now, people in that state may be incredibly bright academically. They may even be brilliant
in other fields of study, but in regards to the ways of God, Scripture says those who are outside of a relationship with Jesus are darkened in their understanding and are walking in spiritual darkness. And as such, biblically speaking, they need to wake up, right? Paul's words in Ephesians 5 and verse 14, "Wake up, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you," certainly applies to those who are living outside of a relationship with Christ. Those who've not yet put their faith in Jesus and committed themselves to following Him are living in a spiritual state that can be likened to sleepwalking. And as such, they need to wake up from their spiritual slumber. But that's not who Paul is talking about when he writes these words, "Wake up, O sleeper." That's who we often think about when we think about someone who needs to wake up from their spiritual slumber. Our minds might go to those outside of this assembly who don't know Jesus, who are walking in spiritual darkness. But that is not who Paul has in his mind when he writes these words to the church at Ephesus. Paul did not have in mind unbelievers when he wrote these words. When Paul said, "Wake up, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you," he was talking to Christians. He was talking to people who had already begun a walk with Christ. So let's get that straight. Who is Paul talking about here when he says, "Wake up"? Who does Paul think needs to wake up so that Christ can shine on and through them? On this occasion, it's not unbelievers. It's not those who are outside the body of Christ. It's those who are inside the body of Christ. It's those who are already in a relationship with Jesus. In other words, when Paul says, "Wake up, O sleeper," he has in mind people like us. You say, "Well, how do you know that?" Well, who'd Paul write this letter to? He didn't write this letter to a bunch of non-believers living in Ephesus, did he? Who'd he write this letter to? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus." Paul didn't write this letter to unbelievers. He wrote it to Christians living in the city of Ephesus. He wrote it to a group of people made up of single men and women, husbands and wives, moms and dads, boys and girls, young men, young women, slaves, business owners, etc., people who had been united and made one by their shared hope and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when Paul finally makes his way over to chapter 5 and verse 14, it's very obvious to me that he's talking to Christians. When Paul says, "Wake up, so that the light of Christ might shine on you," he's talking to people like us. People who at some point in the past began a walk with Jesus Christ, but who for various reasons over time had begun to revert back to the way they were living before coming to Christ. And so after talking for three chapters about what it means for God through Christ to have reconciled you and to have brought you together under this wonderful umbrella of the blood of Jesus and what all God has done for us through Jesus, Paul then begins in chapter 4 to lay out this call on the disciples in Ephesus, calling them to live a life worthy, he says, of their calling. In chapter 4 and verse 1 and following, Paul says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." And throughout the verses and the chapters that follow, Paul lays out this call to these believers to wake up, to realize who it is now they are called to be in Christ. And so to these Christians, Paul says things like, stop lying to each other and start telling the truth to each other. To these Christians, he says, stop letting your temper get the best of you. Don't give the devil a foothold into your life. Stop taking from others what doesn't belong to you. Stop talking profanely. Quit hurting each other with your words. Remember, he's not talking to unbelievers here. He's talking to believers, to the holy people of God in Ephesus, some of whom have forgotten who they were called to be. And they've begun to revert back to their old ways of behaving and their old ways of living. And Paul says, remember who you are. Be kind and tender-hearted and forgiving and loving toward each other. Put away sexual immorality. Stop being greedy and ungrateful. Wake up, Paul says. Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men and women, but as wise. Make the most of the time you have. Don't be foolish. Understand the Lord's will for you. Don't be filled with wine and spirits. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak to each other graciously and give thanks for all that you are and have in Christ. Is it possible Paul's words, wake up, have application for Christians outside the city of Ephesus? Is it possible that his words might actually apply to some of us living right here in Murray, Kentucky? Is it possible he's talking to you? Is it possible he's talking to me? Yeah,
There are people in this city who need to know Jesus. There are people in this city who don't know Jesus, who are walking in darkness, whose lives are not what they could be if only they could come to know Jesus and the power that is found in a relationship with Jesus and the goodness of a life lived with Jesus. No question. And maybe, just maybe, some of us over the course of this coming year, as we live and interact with people like that in this community, perhaps some in this community who don't know Jesus this morning, who aren't assembled with a group of believers like we are this morning, at some point may be drawn to Jesus because of what they see in some of Jesus' people in this community. And by this time next year, they might be in an assembly like this, worshiping and saying that Jesus is Lord. We hope for that. We pray for that. We should be working for that. We should be witnesses for Christ in this community so that some in this community who today don't know Jesus will be drawn to Jesus and hopefully come to know Him as Lord and Savior. Yes, we want to see that happen, but this is something that we also want to see happen, and that is that those who already know Jesus wake up and begin to live the life that Jesus called them to live when they first heard and responded to the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Sleepwalking parents and dogs can sometimes be pretty funny, but sleepwalking Christians are not a laughing matter. Jesus has not called us and saved us to go through life in a spiritual daze. Rather, as Wes pointed out, quite unknowing what I was doing this morning, He has graciously saved us and called us to be His hands and His feet. The embodiment of Jesus in this community is His church. We, those who put our faith in Christ, are His hands and feet in this community. And we have been called to involve ourselves in good works. We are His workmanship, Paul says, chapter 3 and verse 10, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. As Jesus' followers, we've been commissioned to be His hands and His feet, to fill this community with our presence. Good works, good deeds, good words, good thoughts that are all bringing glory to God and pointing people to Jesus. But in order for us to do that, we have to be awake. We have to realize who we've been called to be. We have to realize that we're in a battle, not with flesh and blood, but with spiritual forces and powers. And so we need to suit up every day with the armor of God that we might go out and be the witnesses that Christ has called us to be in this city, on our campuses, in this community, and beyond. Now, it occurs to me that this could just be another, well, you're just bashing Christians and making us all feel bad because we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. I don't mean for it to be that, and I don't want it to be that. It doesn't have to be that. What I hope I'm preaching this morning is that if we have been in a spiritual daze, if we have been spiritually sleepwalking, we will wake up and we will be the people, the church that God has called us to be. And so here is my prayer for us as a church of God's people for the coming year of 2016 that comes straight out of Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name.
I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Wake up, O sleeper, that the light of Christ may shine on you. Are those words that you need to seriously consider on this first Sunday of the year? How will we deal with this year? Who will we become as this year unfolds? May we wake up and become the hands and feet of Jesus, involving ourselves in good works that give glory to our God and help draw others to the power that is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. If we can help you this morning in your walk with Christ, please let us know how we can assist. Bless your neighbor with these words. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.